Peter asked me to make a brief introduction for this morning's speaker, so I thought I'd make one on behalf of the entire family. It's a pleasure to introduce our first speaker this morning, Richard Guy. I believe it's true that I've known him since before the second speaker was born. And I know that my father, who's 85 and a very spry 85, once said to me recently when we were discussing how remarkably timeless Richard Guy is, he's my role model. So it's a great pleasure to introduce an old friend, a fine mathematician, and a role model, Richard Guy.
Well, greetings to my many friends in Toronto, and thanks to whoever was rash enough to suggest that I join this workshop, and I ask that the rest of you forgive whoever it was. I'd also like to thank Greg Martin for having the flu and making this slot available. Well, I'd like to prove to you today that 2 plus 2 is not equal to 2 times 2. Those of you who are a bit doubtful about this, I'd first of all state that this is the case k equals 1, the special case k equals 1 of the theorem that 2 to the k plus 2 to the k is not equal to 2 to the k times 2 to the k. So even if you don't believe this present case, perhaps you'll believe the other ones. The 2 in this case is the order of the linear recurrences, which I'm going to add and multiply together. So you've had time. I don't know whether the people in Toronto can read the first sequence, which is 2, 3, 5, 9, 17. Many of, if you're able. You can. Oh, good. Anyhow, the first sequence is 2, 3, 5, 9, 17, which many of you have probably been able to recognize as being a linear recurring sequence. And if you want to calculate the next term in the sequence, you take, say, 3 times 33 and subtract twice 17, 99 minus 34 is 65. And some of you may even have deduced a formula for it. Well, I'm going to add that to another sequence. This sequence, you get each one by taking the previous one, say 3 here, and subtracting twice the previous one. Minus 2 minus 1 is plus 2, which makes 5. 5 minus 2 3s is minus 1, and so on. And if I add those together, I get this blue sequence. 0, 2, 8, 14, 16, 22, and so on, which, because I like my sequences to start 0, 1, I'm going to take out a factor 2 out of this one. And I've also, because I need, well, later on, I've even factored for you those members which are not actually prime. And I'd call your special attention to, and I'll have to move this up for you to be able to see it, I think, that the ninth term and the 12th term both have the factor 37, which we'll come back to in a while. Now let's do twice two. I hope there aren't too many mistakes in this one. These are actually Gaussian integers. I expect some of you have seen them before. And I got each member of this sequence by, well, I just start with zero and I, and I'm to get the next term in the sequence, you multiply the previous one by 2 plus I and subtract 1 plus I times the one before that. And then I want to multiply that by the conjugate sequence. I times minus I is 1, and minus 1 plus 2I times minus 1 minus 2I is 5, and so on. So I get this sequence, which for those of you who are not particularly interested in listening for the rest of the talk, you can check my arithmetic, which was done entirely without any computers, and also extend it, because I would like, if you can find an example of a repetition like the 37 that you saw on the previous transparency. And the important thing is that the two blue sequences here, see, how can we do this? The two blue sequences here are in fact divisibility sequences. That is, if the third term is 14 here, and 14 divides every third term onwards. If m divides n, then a sub m divides a sub n. And I assert that these are divisibility sequences, but you may not believe that. You may ask, how do I know? Well, let's take the 2 plus 2 1 first of all. How do I know that that sequence is a divisibility sequence? Well, the number of points on the elliptic curve y squared plus xy equals x cubed plus x squared plus x over the field with 2 to the n elements is, of course, the number of elements in the field plus 1 minus a sub n. And a sub n was the second sequence there. It's I have very much enjoyed the many of the talks we've had so far. I've had nice pictures of mathematicians on them, so that I should perhaps at this point let you have a picture of Hasse. And also, perhaps also a picture of Vey, and perhaps even Frobenius there, also because this quantity AN, the difference between roughly the size of the field and the actual number of points on the curve, which is fairly small because of Hasse's theorem, satisfies a second order recurrence, the solution of which is this in this case. And so the number of points on the curve, which is my 2 plus 2 sequence, this is the formula for it. And this is in fact the sum or the difference of what you might call what some people call Binet formulae, but I won't draw a picture of Binet because it looks like one thing, and the other thing is that, in fact, if you look If you look in Euler's works, you'll find Binet's formula there, and I know something 100 years before Binet. And in fact, it goes back to de Moivre and so on and so on. I'll draw a picture of de Moivre instead. But the important thing is that this, here is a formula, and this formula, as you can see, is a solution of a recurrence relation and the characteristic polynomial of which has the four roots, 2, 1, this and this. And so that my 2 plus 2 sequence in fact is a fourth order recurring sequence with this as its characteristic polynomial. And to obtain that, I took the union of the roots of the first sequence, which are 2 and 1, and the roots of this recurrence here to give me this. Now, you may claim that I'm multiplying these two polynomials, not adding them. But in fact, what I'm doing is I'm taking the union of the roots. And the degree of this is the sum of the degrees of the two polynomials for the two separate sequences. So it's the sum of the degrees. And that common factor, by the way, that I took out of the sequences, of course, is the order of the torsion group for the original curve, because the points all come in pairs. So now, how do I know that the 2 times 2, 1 was a divisibility sequence? Well, that one's a little bit easier, actually, because I did this time, I started with two sequences. Well, it was a sequence and its conjugate, so it's clearly the properties of one are the same as the properties of the other. I took a sequence which was already a divisibility sequence to begin with. And if you multiply two divisibility sequences, clearly you get a divisibility sequence. So, and how do I know that the original one of the sequence of Gaussian integers, how do I know that was a divisibility sequence? Well, because I generated it with this polynomial, and if the roots of that are alpha and beta, say, they're actually that, then the solution is of course of that form. And if I make the first term zero and the zeroth term zero and the first term I, then I get A is one and B is minus one. And so the formula for the nth term of the sequence is simply alpha to the n minus beta to the n, which is clearly a divisibility sequence. And if m divides n, then alpha to the m minus beta to the n divides like that. Now, suppose alpha bar and beta bar are the roots of the conjugate quadratic, then the product sequence, of course, is simply this times the conjugate. And that is now our four roots are the products of the roots. I haven't just collected the roots of the two polynomials together, added them. I've actually taken the product of the roots. So you can see, if I'd done this instead of taking two fourth order sequences to begin with, I would get four times, I'd get an order 16 divisibility sequence. And indeed, that is something which is very interesting and we're still working on. I'd like to get on to the part of this that really interests me, that is that there's two 37s that I saw, and I hope that at least somebody in the audience has calculated enough terms to find an example of a repeating factor which is not directly attributable to the fact that it's a divisibility sequence. I only made up the example yesterday, and as I say, I haven't pursued it far enough, but I'm sure that there are some examples. We'll come back to it in a minute. But now I want to... we need a bit of audience participation here. I hope the people in Toronto will join in as well. How many people in the audience do not know what this pattern is? 1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 1, 3, 3, 1, 1, 4, 6, 4. Good, all right. How many people do know? Good. How many people haven't put up their hands? How many people still haven't put up their hand? Right. Well, I take this fairly familiar pattern of red digits here. I multiply the columns by alpha to the 0, alpha to the 1, alpha squared, alpha cubed, alpha to the 4th, and so on. And I multiply the falling diagonals by beta to the 0, beta to the 1, beta squared, beta cubed, and so on. And put in some plus signs. And now, how many people recognize these polynomials? Oh dear. Don't be modest. Well, supposing I said that alpha was 2x and beta was minus 1. But alpha is 2x and beta is minus 1. No offers? Yeah. Well, they're Cherichev polynomials. I must admit that I only discovered this myself a few months ago. But let me give you some easier ones. What if alpha is 1 and beta is 1? What have we got? Fibonacci numbers, good. What if alpha is 3 and beta is minus 2? No alphas? Well, they're the Mersenne numbers. What if alpha is x plus 1 and beta is minus x? Yeah. All gone to sleep already. It's really amazing. Well, they are the cyclotomic polynomials, actually, although not strictly, the primitive part of them. You see, if you've got a divisibility sequence, then of course the terms of a divisibility sequence split into an algebraic part and a primitive part. And the primitive part are the cyclotomic polynomials. And so I have a question here. If I go back to the original Chebyshev polynomials, and you take the primitive parts of this, do they have any use or occurrence anywhere in mathematics? Seems to me that they ought to. That's something that you can tell me about. Well, time rushes by, so let's... yes, here's the... There are the polynomials split into an algebraic part and a primitive part, so that... now... part that I really find interesting is I had a lot of help from Hugh Williams. Oh yeah, I forgot to draw a picture. When I had the 111121, most of you recognized it, and probably some of you may have called it Pascal's triangle. I should really have drawn a picture there of Omar Khayyam, because the Pascal's triangle was known to the Japanese about 100 years before Pascal, and it was known to the Chinese about 200 years before that. And in fact goes back at least to Omar Khayyam, and something like 1,000 years ago. But with the fourth order divisibility sequences, you can have two ranks of apparition. I mean, everybody knows the Lucar-Lehmer theory, at least as far as it applies to the Fibonacci numbers, namely that, seem to have lost the first slide, but never mind. I think everybody knows that 5 divides every 5th member of the Fibonacci sequence, and that all the other primes besides 5 being the discriminant of x squared minus x minus 1, all the other primes occur in a term whose rank divides p minus 1 or p plus 1, depending on whether the quadratic character of p mod 5. And so you get this rank of apparition, and then, for example, the 3 divides the 4th term. In fact, 3 is the 4th term, and every 4th term, 8th, 12th, 16th, is divisible by 3. And this is an if and only if. These are the only terms which divide by 3, and every one divides by 3. But when you come to fourth order divisibility sequences, you may get 2 ranks of apparition, in the sense that where you saw that 37 divided the first terms was it divided with the 9th and the 12th. And you might think, oh, you must have made a mistake. Surely it divided the 3rd and the 6th as well, but it doesn't. And you get 2 ranks of apparition. And in that particular sequence, the discriminant, not the discriminant of the elliptic curve, by the way, but the discriminant of the fourth degree polynomial that gave you the law of recurrence. So the behavior of prime divisors of my first sequence depends on minus 7 over p. That's a Legendre symbol. Its value is plus or minus 1, depending on the parity of the number of errors you make in calculating it. But those of you who have as much difficulty with it, let me give you a theorem. Minus 7 over p is the same as p over 7, which is much easier to work with. For those of you who don't even want to do the calculation, let me say that this is p is congruent to 3, 5, or 13 mod 14. And those primes always... I put a query here that, because I already used this slide in a talk I gave a month ago, and when I was even more ignorant than I am now. And at the end of the talk, Richard Finch gave me a one-line proof of what I'd been observing, namely that these primes, when they do appear, they always appear to occur square. And that isn't too hard to prove, actually, especially once you know that it's true. So the ranks of apparition of these are always divisors of p squared minus 1. Three first appears as a square in the eighth term, and 5 squared 24. And for these primes, there is essentially only one rank of apparition. But for the other primes, the ones that are congruent to 1, 9, or 11, mod 14, there may be two ranks. And they both divide p minus 1, and here the ranks are put in red, and occasionally you find one which has two ranks of apparition like that. And in fact, 163, which is rather a nice prime, is the next one, and I don't know whether I've got any. Yes. There are 8 here, and in fact, further experimentation has turned up. I think I've got up to about 6. Found 16 such primes now, and. Let's see. Yes, okay, well, time's running out, so let me just leave you with some problems. First, given a fourth order recurrence relation, are there a set of 4 initial values, preferably starting 0, 1, which define a divisibility sequence. Another thing is, given the fourth order divisibility sequence, is there a number field over which it factors into 2 second order ones? Now, as I say, Hugh Williams has given necessary conditions for a prime to have 2 ranks of apparition in a fourth-order divisibility sequence, but on the other hand, rather small proportion of the primes seem to take advantage of this privilege, and I'd like to know which ones do. What is special about these numbers, 37, 163, and so on? And we know that under suitable conditions, we know that the ranks of apparition have got to divide, say, p minus 1 or p squared minus 1 or some simple polynomial in p. But which divisors? And what is the length and the pattern of the period of residues mod n of a divisibility sequence? The residues are clearly periodic, but how long is the period, and what sort of pattern do you observe going along? And finally, extend this, or we're on our way to extending it to order 16 and 256, and there are lots more powers of two after there. So I think so that's it. And are there any answers?
So let's take a question or so from Fields. Are there any questions from Fields?
Any questions?
What does 2 plus 2 and 2 time?
Hello, Richard. This is Jeff Ligarius. Just wanted to ask you, what were the definition of 2 plus 2 and 2 times 2 in terms of the elliptic curve?
Oh, well, the two twos in, for the elliptic curve, the first two was simply the rough estimate of the number of points on the elliptic curve, which is simply the number of points in the field, because since you're solving an equation y squared equals something or other, about half the time you expect to get two answers and half the time you don't expect to get any at all. So the number of points on a curve is roughly the number of elements in the field, but it's not exactly that, and Hathi proves that it only differed from that by a quantity which is most twice the square root of the whole caboodle. And so the first two is simply q to the n plus 1, and the second two is the correction, the sort of Hathi difference, and that was shown, I don't know whether it was by Hathi himself or by Vey, was shown to satisfy a second order recurrence, and that's the other two. I don't know if that answers your question.
Are there any other questions from Fields? Well, if not, I'll ask a question, Richard. This is Michael Filicetta. I was wondering, your picture of Hugh Williams, he looked bigger than the other people in the pictures you drew. Was that a mistake?
Because Hugh has, in fact, featured in my life rather more largely than has some of the other people. As you know, actually, there was an occasion on which Alf van der Porten was visiting Calgary, and Renata kindly offered the three of us a ride to wherever we were going. And there was Alf van der Porten and Hugh Williams and myself, and I did comment on at the time that it was very rarely that you got three number theorists of such stature in the same vehicle.
I think that's it from this end.
Are there any questions from Ermax? Peter, did you have a question? You could just shake your head, I see ya.
I'm demuted. No, because the garbage truck starts out my window, it'll make a lot of noise.
Okay. Well, then let's thank Richard again.